Song. That was good. That was really good. I appreciated that song. It relates to today's message, which is give thanks to the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, we just love you and we thank you for your grace. Lord, as we prepare for this strange Thanksgiving week in which we will not be sharing a huge meal with family and friends from all over the world, but sheltered in place, we just give thanks to you because we didn't have to get this far. We didn't have to get this far, so we give you thanks. This church didn't have to be open today. We give you thanks. Though our pastor has moved on to glory, we have not been scattered. The sheep are in the fold. We give thanks to you today. Lord, I ask that you would bless this time, that the message is being delivered to the people, that you would keep me behind the cross, that your glory may be seen and heard. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. We're going to be looking at Psalms 107, verse 1. That's our concentration. But if possible, I would like to start with Psalms 107, verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8, so we can get the meat of the message and understand the context therein. Psalms 107 and verse 1 is our theme verse for today. I'm only going to be covering Psalms 107, 1 and 2. But we'll be looking at the Psalms 107 verses 1 through 8 to give us a context. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, verse 1, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Amen. His mercy endures forever. Americans are preparing to sit down for Thanksgiving feast with family and friends, which they will watch some football, college and pro, see some parades. Some of us will attempt to get away from a work and have a well-deserved rest from it all. But we of the Christian faith, we are reminded in this scripture to remember what God has done for us during these times and remember to give thanks to the Lord. Remember to give thanks to the Lord. Our first point will be give thanks to the Lord for everything. Give thanks to the Lord for everything. And as we look at Psalms 107 verses 1 through 8, we want to break up and get the context. It says in verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. We'll hold it right there. That means all the places that Israel, the children of Israel, had been scattered to, either from the exile to the Babylonians, which is to their east. You have the Assyrians in the north. You have on the western side, you had Egypt and so forth. So they were scattered all over the world through various times in their history. So that's what that means, from the east, west, north, and south. Next verse. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way, and they found no city to dwell in. That's when they were in the wilderness. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Thank God he's delivering us out of our distresses in this COVID-19 world. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. And finally, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's Psalms 107, verses 1 through 8. Again, we're concentrating on verse 1 this morning. Our first point was to give thanks to the Lord for everything. Psalms 107 encourages God's people to give thanks to God for his gracious act of redeeming his people from Babylonian exile and gathering them back to the land. Included in the psalm is a remembrance of his care and redemption. In the wilderness, he's taking them back so they can remember how he rescued them and led them. For these reasons, the psalmist calls on the people to thank God for his steadfast and his faithful love. Point number one, give thanks to the Lord for everything. You know, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Thanks to the Lord. The Thanksgiving Proclamation was given by Abraham Lincoln in 1863. And Abraham Lincoln, when asked, was he a Christian, he said, I don't think so. For someone had not shared with him the understanding of the grace of God, which we just sang about. He thought it was works. He was a honest man. He was a good man, but because he didn't understand the scriptures, he didn't understand that he could have been saved if he would give his life to Christ. But he was a good man and a Bible reader. And after the Civil War, he made this proclamation and brought Thanksgiving holiday to America as a means of trying to get the North and the South reunited. That was in 1863. That's where we started with our Thanksgiving. Then we know that long before then, there were the Pilgrims of Plymouth Rock. But the ancient Israelites, they also celebrated times of Thanksgiving, and they did so with feasts, but for a different cause. It was to give thanks to their God who delivered them. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. The word thanks is the Hebrew word yadao. It means to revere or worship, to reverence or to worship, especially with extended hands. And you've seen people who have their hands extended as they are worshiping. Well, that's thanks. Now, that's an intentional thanks. You don't just wave your hands for no reason. Although the song says something like wave your hands in the air, even if you don't, but that's not the point here. We raise our hands for worship and for reverence. We revere him. That's where we see this word thanks. It's an intentional time to give thanks to God. So this first verse It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. And saints, we do it for everything. These people who had come back in the post-exile stage, they came from Babylon, where they had been there for 70 years, according to the prophecy from Jeremiah. And many of them came back. Some stayed, but most of them came back to the homeland of which they were living there in the Holy Land. So this psalm was written to give thanks and to remind the people to give thanks for the times that they had been in exile. And as I stated, and as you saw in the passage, it was also a time of going back and remembering what God had done in delivering the people from Egypt. Remember, they went to Egypt as God told Abraham they were going to be in a place that wasn't going to be nice for 400 and some years, he told Abraham. But the reason for that was because it was only a family of 70 or so that went there in the first place. And if they were going to have a nation in the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they needed more than 70 people just to fill out the place. All right. It's not that God couldn't just give it to them, but they need to be a nation. So by sending Joseph to Egypt, where he became a servant and a slave, and was even incarcerated in prison for something that he did not do, it allowed him to be elevated to the point of the second man in charge in Egypt. And as he brought his family in during the time of starvation, when there was no food, there was a famine in the land. We know that they came out of Egypt as Moses was sent to deliver them. They were some 1.5 to 2 million people strong. And while they were in that wilderness, because of their disobedience and some for their unbelief, God had them to meander around for some 40 years. But they came to the land. While they were there, there was need for water, there was need for food, and God provided for them. And this psalm goes back and takes you to that remembrance time for them in Psalms 107. So there's a reason that people were to give thanks. You know, there's reasons for us to give thanks as we go back to the early parts of 2020. That message that Dr. Lamont gave about 2020, 2020 vision, that was a good message. But boy, did we find out what it really meant. Did we not find out what it really meant? 2020 vision, the things that we have seen, some people would never have thought it would be possible here in America. Now, we've had the pandemics before, but this one was something nasty. Some people did not survive the onslaught of COVID-19. Some people passed away. Some survived being sick. But I'm telling you now, you better thank God. You better thank God. We're sitting here right now. We don't have to be. It could have wiped out a lot of people. Oh, we give thanks to God. The doors to this church were closed. But where are we today? We're on the inside. And thanks to technology, there are some brothers and sisters out in the parking lot listening to us right now. Oh, you better know that we're going to thank God. There have been people who had good jobs until COVID-19 came along. And before we even understood what was going on, Some of those jobs melted away. The United States economy was at its best that it's ever been. It was 4%. That means full employment in the United States. Because some people are going to retire and some people need to be hired. The African Americans, we had the greatest employment of all times. The COVID-19, some of those jobs melted away. Thanks God, there was technology that allowed people to work at home. Some people would not have had any income after a while. You better thank God. There were people who were trying out for basketball and football and baseball scholarships. And then it ended. For some, there was no basketball championship in their senior year. There are people today who went to high school or in high school and they thought they were going to have a senior year, but no football. There are people who perhaps have had the decision to make a 5-year effort in high school so they could play football one more year before they go to college, but not to be. Better thank God. You know, there are teachers who are older and not younger, people who have underlying conditions. Many of them are not feeling good about kids coming back. It's not that they don't care about the children, but they have underlying conditions. And yet, for whatever reason, God keeps holding the children back to give them a little more time. You better thank God for these times. Some of us have been able to retire. Amen. I see a brother raising his hand over there. He's happy. Some people were not able to retire. Their jobs ended, and at their age, they probably will not get a chance to work again. I'm talking about folks who might have been in the restaurant industry, who were waitresses or waiters, and they were older in age, and they've seen their grandchildren grow up, and they were just going to hang on for a couple of years. But now the restaurant industry has changed, and we don't have as many people open, and we have takeout and so forth. Thank God if you got a job. Thank God if you have a place to go to work. We give thanks to God for all that he's done. Even though our pastor has gone to be to the Lord with glory, we know that God is still with us. I did not think I'd be standing here today. Years ago, I stopped preaching from behind the pulpit, but I went back to school to finish out, and it allowed me to have the opportunity to stand here today as your interim pastor and to give you the word. I thank God today. I thank God for everything. We are thankful not only for the things that we like, but for the situations we don't like. We should start thanking God for the things that we take for granted, because our point of view starts to change. We've come through some rough waters these several months. Thanksgiving is one of those holidays in which loneliness and aloneness become part and parcel for many people. The pandemic just makes it worse. We have seen our faith challenged and our hearts broken by the loss of our pastor. A couple of our church members and former church members passed away. Family and friends, people that we know, some have passed on, some have been ill, some have been sick. Job loss, financial difficulties, those things abound. Yet when we intentionally thank God for everything that he lets come into our lives, we know that we'll keep bitterness from setting in. We cannot be both thankful and bitter with God at the same time. So we're thanking him for the terrible things that are happening to us, but for sustaining us through it all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything, everybody say everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You mean that it's God's will for us to be thankful? Yes, it is. It's his will for us to be thankful in Christ Jesus. We know that we should be thankful because God keeps reminding us to thank him. Because we find these verses, these same verses repeated several psalms. Just to name a few, I'm going to give them to you. But how many times, for those of you who've had children, do you repeat yourself? Why do you repeat yourself? Because you want them to do what? To remember and to get it done, right? Psalms 106, verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Sound familiar? Psalms 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalms 136 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You think God wants us to remember to thank him? Psalms 104 tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Oh, God wants us to be thankful. That's why today we give thanks to the Lord. It says in our second point, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The word good in the Hebrew language is to be. It means to be gracious, kind, and fair, and pleasant of a higher nature. Our second point was give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Exodus 33 and verse 19. Let me tell you what 18 says, because we might be familiar with this story. Moses says, please show me your glory. This was at a time after seeing God deliver the children of Israel from the armies of Pharaoh. Even though Moses wanted to see God, the God of the Passover, the God of the Red Sea, he wanted to see God's physical glory. Catch what God has said to him. He said in verse 19, I will make my goodness pass before you. He didn't say, I'll make my glory pass before you. He said, I will make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So what did God do? He had Moses stand in the cleft or hole in the rock so that he was hidden. And then he says he covered his hand, even though God does not have physical hands. And he said, I'm going to let you see my backside because you can't see my face, even though he doesn't really have that kind of a physical face like we do, because if you do, you're going to die. So I'll just let you see my train. I'll just let you see my backside as I pass before you. And that made Moses' face shine. In other words, if you cut the lights out, you can still see Moses' face. But did you catch? Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God said, I'm going to let you see my goodness. What's that talking about? Think about it. The glory of God is the same as the God of goodness. His character of goodness is the standard of goodness. Jesus said there is only one good, and that is God. So this God who listens to us and answers our prayers and delivers us out of our troubles and is abundant in mercy is the God of goodness. Look at Psalms 86 and verse 5. Psalms 86 and verse 5. Oh, we want to give God thanks today, folks. Look at Psalms 86 in verse 5, as we talk about the second point of God, of giving thanks to God for he is good. It says, for you, Lord, are good. And the thing about him being good is, it says, and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. I'm glad that the glory of God can be seen in the goodness of God. For his goodness to me is a reason why I want to say thank you, Lord. Oh, I have the grace of God. I have been given provisions by God. I've been coming out of debt, and I've been able to do things and not have to worry so much about where the money's coming from. God has been good to me, and his goodness and his glory, oh, it's the same thing. It's the same God. I thank God, for he is good. I thank God, for he is good. Then, for our third point, it says, give God thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. We gave thanks to the Lord for everything. Then our second point, we give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And now we want to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. This word that we see, mercy, although you've seen mercy in the New Testament, it's a different word from the original language. The word that we see here in this passage is the word chesed. It has a deeper meaning than the word mercy that we see. When the writers of the Septuagint, that's the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible, that's the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible, they had difficulty trying to come up with a word for chesed, because Aside is only used 30 times in the Old Testament. The closest they could come up with was mercy, which they used in their particular translation. But the word hasad has a deeper meaning than the word that we use for mercy. It's based on this word hasad. Translators couldn't understand it. They had to use ilios, which means mercy, but the word hasad has a richer meaning in the Hebrew. I want you to understand this. The word hasad has nothing to do with casual relationships. It is dealing with people that you have an intimate relationship. In other words, the mercy that this verse talks about is for people you have a tie with. Your mercy for your child is different from the mercy of a child you don't know. The mercy for someone that you love is quite intentional. It is a close relationship that this mercy is used for. It's a significant and meaningful relationship between two sides or two people. In this case, it's the relationship between God and his people, those Israelites, even those who often went astray from him and from his love. That's why the psalmist was writing about in Psalms 107 and verse 2, when he said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say." So let's look at Psalms 107 and verse 1 and 2. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord, who were witnesses to his mercy while they were in Babylonian captivity," for those Israelites who were in the wilderness, who didn't have food, didn't have water, but they had a rock that gave water, and they had manna from heaven, and they had quail to eat when they asked for help, when they needed some. And this water was good enough for the people and their animals. He made a provision. That's why the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because they, yeah, I saw it. I was a witness to it all. "Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Those who were there in Babylon after having been captured and taken away by King Nebuchadnezzar from the southern kingdom. Oh, they have a reason to give thanks. For they had been redeemed from the enemy. They had been redeemed from the power of the enemy. God saved them from the enemies and has not suffered them to be destroyed by them. What is here said is true in the most eminent sense. For those who are redeemed also include us, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Son of God, who has made us heirs of salvation. Every consideration makes it proper that we should praise the Lord of all the earth, for he deserves our praise after all that he has done. We have seen and we appreciate the goodness of the Lord, just as the ancient Hebrews did. Can we look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7? For the church today, God's church, Christ's church, who despite our sinful condition, we were redeemed through his shed blood. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "In him," who's the him? Jesus, right? "In him we have redemption." We've been bought back with a price through his blood, And what do we have as a result of this? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What kind of mercy is that? That's the mercy that endures forever. Even though the trials that we face are difficult, we don't thank him, folks, for our hurts. We don't thank him because he took our loved ones home. We don't thank him because we were sick or our neighbors or our friends were sick. That's not why we thank him. For it's not necessarily something that he caused. But we thank him because he gives us strength to endure it all. He gives us strength to endure it all. Can we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9? Oh, Paul was a servant of God. And this is why I do want you to know that, yes, there is healing, but it's not magic. Just because Paul could bring a boy back to life who had fallen out of a window because he had an all-night Bible study and he fell asleep. People getting healed because they fell into the shadow of Peter. It's not magic. It's always God doing it for his purposes. So even though Paul, the apostle, performed healings, it wasn't like a magic pill. So Paul himself is suffering. He has an ailment, and he's asked God several times, please take this sickness, this infirmity away from me. And God says something to him. Look at what he says, folk. He said to me, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. You mean to tell me that Paul didn't have a little handkerchief from a plastic bag he could pull out, having been dipped in the Jordan River? Oh, no. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, listen to what Paul says. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, we don't thank God that we got sick, but what do? We thank him for the strength that he's given us to endure it. Oh, we give thanks to God today. We thank him for his promises. Romans 8, verse 28. Even though the things around us confuse us sometimes, and even though we sometimes say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on, Lord. What you doing? Oh, but there's a promise from God in Romans 8, verse 28. Look at what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes. Even though we don't understand this puzzle piece that we are living in, God says the puzzle piece fits into the picture that I have for you. Oh, you don't understand. But listen, God does. And in this promise, we see that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes. For God has promised that he's got the ball. He's sufficient for us, for he is all-knowing. And in his sovereign character, he knows everything about us and how things are going to work. Even though we don't understand, we thank him for his promises. We can have thankful hearts towards God even when we do not feel thankful for the circumstances. We can grieve and still be thankful. We can hurt and still be thankful. The scriptures describe this as a sacrifice of praise. Can we look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15? Giving thanks to God. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "Therefore, by him, let us sometimes, let us every now and then." Y'all are good. Y'all making me straight. Says, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Oh, when things get rough, thank him, saints. When things get hard, thank him. Call upon his name. Give thanks to God. That keeps us in a right relationship with the Lord. It keeps us from the turmoil of those harmful feelings and attitudes that will rob us from the peace that God wants us to experience. In this, we see the long suffering of God over and over as he has forgiven his people and shown them mercy, that kind of mercy that we talked about that endures forever. And saints, in this, we should offer him thanksgiving. In conclusion, God knows that we have been going through many difficulties. And in this difficult season, through it all, God has never abandoned us. During this Thanksgiving holiday, let us be mindful of all that he has done for us.